Friends, Scripture gives us words of life that, through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, become the word of life. So let us listen then to that word in this lesson. It comes this morning from Isaiah, chapter 40. People of Jacob, why do you complain? And you, O Israel, why do you say, my lot is hidden from the Lord, my cause goes unheeded by my God? Do you not know? Have you not heard? The Lord, the eternal God, creator of earth's farthest bounds, does not weary or grow faint. His understanding cannot be fathomed. He gives strength to the weary, new strength to the exhausted. Young men may grow weary and faint, and even the fittest may stumble and fall. But those who look to the Lord will renew their strength. They will rise up with wings as eagles. And they will run and not feel faint, march on and not grow weary. Friends, this is the word of God, and it can be trusted. I can't remember, I know some of you will have heard this story before, but it's a story about our honeymoon, Liz's and my honeymoon. Liz and I went to Seattle for our honeymoon and stayed on a houseboat on Lake Union, which was wonderful. It was August, the weather was perfect in Seattle. Our hosts, Liz's godparents, were delighted that we were there. They showered us with gifts, and one of the gifts with which they showered us was a tour of the city and its surrounding communities via seaplane. In fact, the seaplane was tied up at a dock at the end of their street. Seattle is like this. It's kind of a two-minute walk away, and you just hop into the seaplane. It's magical, right? We were both very excited for this adventure, and the pilot was like straight out of Central Casting, like a grizzled old-timer kind of guy in a ratty baseball cap, and he motioned us into the back seat and fired up the engines. It was all very exciting. How many of you have been on a seaplane before? Few, all right, excellent. Takeoff, if you don't know, takeoff in a seaplane is a little bumpier than you might be used to, but that was fine. Except that we were gaining speed and zooming down the middle of Lake Union, and right then the pilot turned to me and he said, you know, practically with a chewed cigar in his mouth, hey, buddy, be careful on your right there. That's not a wall. That's a door for the plane. And with that, our seaplane leapt into the sky, zooming over the buildings along Lake Union as the pilot gently banked the plane to starboard, which is right if you don't know, to begin our tour. After a while, I could hear Liz, who was seated to my left, oohing and aahing about Mount Rainier rising in the distance. Look how small the Space Needle looks down there, she said. Let me get my camera. I heard her hunting around in her backpack. She said, look at me, smile. After a moment, she said, honey, look, smile. I don't know when it was that she noticed that my hands were gripping the seat in front of me so tightly that for a moment I thought I had punctured the vinyl up there. I don't know when it was that she noticed that my complexion was actually whiter than the snow on Mount Rainier and greener than the water below us in a moment later. I don't know when it was that Liz realized that I wasn't moving my head because my eyes were locked on the back of that seat in order to keep from looking out of the windows. All I knew was that I was holding on for dear life and that I didn't dare move a muscle, or so help me, the plane I was certain was going to just fall out of the sky. Have you ever tried to keep a plane aloft by the sheer power of your own will? Well, I have. And I can tell you, it was exhausting. 20 minutes later, we touched back down. I pried my fingers from the seat in front of me, grateful we had made it. I totally got why the Pope, when he gets off a plane, like kisses the ground and stuff. I was ready to do that. I don't think I had ever been so weary in my whole life as I was after that 20-minute seaplane ride, where I learned that, in fact, I'm scared of heights, which I had not known before. Our scripture this morning talks about weariness also. It comes from the book of Isaiah, culminating in the wonderful promise that we can sort of slough off our weariness. Even the young will faint and be weary, it says. The young will fall exhausted. And I was interested to learn this week that the word Isaiah uses for weariness is the Hebrew word yaga, which means to toil, labor, grow weary. But the word comes from a primitive root that means to grasp. Like me grasping that seat in front of me, grasping something so tightly for so long that it just gets exhausting. Has that ever happened to you? We can only white knuckle it for so long, right? Whether it's flying in a seaplane, driving through a snowstorm, running a business, trying to keep everything going when life gets complicated, you can only do that for so long. The burden of trying to hold it together is exhausting. But we try, don't we? We try to maintain control. Sometimes that involves not only a situation, not only a place or a thing, but also the people that we love, don't we? And yet, for all our efforts, we know our control can only go on so long. Our control is only temporary and probably only partial at best. Worst of all, sometimes I think we confuse reestablishing control with renewal. And I think that's a real mistake. Renewal and reestablishing control are different. The German theologian Dorothee Soell has written, "If my hands are full, they can neither give nor receive." And I think that's true. If holding on for dear life becomes our focus, we lose the deeper rhythm of life, which is about giving and receiving. The deeper rhythm of life is attuned to a promise that all things will constantly be made new, that new chapters are poised to begin, that God is ready to write them with us, or we can try to hold on to the old story, fists clenched. And Isaiah's word to us today is, in the end, that won't succeed. That even youth will faint and be weary. The young will fall exhausted. But then he goes on, because that's not the final word. Because he says, "But those who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. And to me, that says that for those who open their hands, who open their hearts, who open their minds, renewal doesn't just beckon. It invites us to soar. Isaiah, to his mind, suggests that that should be obvious to us all. He writes, kind of not believing. He says, have you not known? Have you not heard? Has it not been told you from the beginning? Have you not understood from the foundations of the earth? But it's not that easy for many of us. Maybe he was one of that special breed who just had open hands, an open heart, an open mind from the very beginning. For the rest of us, though, that's something we need to work toward. I have a friend who decided last year as a New Year's resolution he was going to do one of those couch to 5K running programs. Any of you done that? All right, Amber, yes. Redeeming us all. The rest of you need to get up with it. Couch to 5K running program. And he succeeded. He's not alone. Amber also succeeded. And it has been great for him. But now he's one of those people who says, hey, if I can do it, truly anybody can do it. And, you know, it's a drag because he now says that quite a bit. And maybe that's true. Maybe he's right. But how quickly they forget, huh? How quickly he's forgotten that for those of us who are still on the couch, still on the fence, the idea that anyone could do what he's gone on and done does not seem so obvious. And so maybe the invitation to soar that Isaiah feels is so obvious, so present in the world, present from the foundations of the earth, as he says. Well, maybe that's not so obvious. Not right now. Maybe he gives us too much credit. But his point is an important point. Because what might our lives be like? What might our lives be like if we just stopped with all the clutching? Maybe the question we need to ponder is whether we actually want to know the answer to that. Because when we let it go, we are challenged to see what's next, to see what's new, to be open to something maybe very different, or maybe something that isn't nearly as different as we were expecting. For Isaiah, though, the point is that God is on the far shore of our asking those questions. And he knows that because he's so clear that it's only when we unclench that something beautiful and new has the space to take hold. It's only then that we can soar. Friends, above all, let us remember this. In all creation, the human imagination is the most important real estate there is. And so what it is you offer your mind to, how it is that you see what it is you need to hold on to and where it is in your life that God is asking you to let something go is a question at the core of our lives. Isaiah understands that. And this morning, he reminds us that whatever is in our hands, we must tend it. We must cultivate it with great care, learning not to hold on too tightly, but always, always to make space for things to happen. Because with God, new shoots are forever ready to come into blossom. With God, we soar, letting the Spirit carry us aloft to see things more wonderful than the most elaborate of all our dreams. Amen.